that time. He talked about, in that passage, about some things that they were doing to cultivate this environment of life and lift and all that, that things that they did that would conduct the power of God. Talked about there was a sense of awe, talked about their generosity, talked about being glad and simplicity of heart, about their joy, their contentment. Talked about how they were attractive as they praised God and God gave them favour. But there's one thing in there he shared as well. It said that they had a common purpose and they were of one accord. And I just wanted to share a few thoughts today about unity. Because that small group, that early church was 120 people in a room where God filled their hearts. They were born again. They were filled with His Spirit. They had been in the past huddled in fear in a room, but they said they turned their world upside down. And I thought we could have the same effect on our town. If we would be filled with His life. I thought He needs to do something in us before He can do something through us. You know, it begins with us having His life. I was thinking about this unity that the church has. I thought what it is not first, it's not uniformity. Doesn't mean we all hold the same doctrines. Doesn't mean we all have the same dress code. Doesn't mean we all have the same political view. Doesn't mean any of that. I'm sure if I sat down and had a good chat with a few of you, your doctrines on a few things might be different to mine, and yet we can be of one heart and one vision. I can remember, you know, it's not like, you know, we don't have beards here, you know, then Fred wouldn't feel welcome. It's not like all the women have got to wear long dresses, you know, or it's nothing like that. It's nothing to do with anything else, but it doesn't matter about style, doesn't matter about language, doesn't matter about anything else, but we can still be one. It's all about flowing together with the Spirit of God in our hearts, being indwelt by Him, being empowered and led by the same Spirit. Smile at me. I've said something. Hallelujah. I thought about what Paul says. You know, Paul celebrates the fact that we're diverse and yet we're one. If you want to look at Romans 12, verse 4 to 5, they might be up there. There we are. No? Christ is enough for me. There it is. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not have the same function. And then it says, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. You know, Paul will use this analogy of the body to demonstrate that unity does not exclude us being very diverse. We're very different. We're all different. It is the miracle of God, the miracle of the Spirit of God, that He comes into our life, and that people that are opposite and different, there can be Gentile and Jew, can be slave and free. The early church's power was that it crossed every culture, it crossed every caste system, it crossed every political view, and they were all joined in one heart and they became one body. Different ministry gifts, Paul says here, yet one Spirit, many parts, but one body. In fact, it's the healthy functioning of this diversity that brings maturity to the body. I thought about it's like an orchestra. Ever been to one? Ever been to a concert? And there's so many things playing. There can be 200 instruments playing. It can be all up on a stage. They're all diverse. They're all different. They're all doing a different thing in one sense, but they're in timing, and there's harmony, and there's unity. There's something, you know, we are like a song that God wants to play, you know. And I'll just read you another verse from Genesis chapter 11, just to show the power of unity. It's got here, it says, then they said, in verse 4, This is the Tower of Babel. If you don't know the story, this is when the whole world just had one language still. They were one people. It says, and then it talks about them. It says, then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top to the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed across the face of the earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they have one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they purpose to do will now be impossible for them. Here you've got a people. Now, sure, their unity was around a wrong purpose. They were wanting to make a name for themselves. But even God recognized that with this unity, with them being one like they were, with one goal, with one purpose, he said nothing will be impossible for them. There's power in being one. The principle is one people speaking the same language, getting together. Nothing shall be impossible for them. Something happens when people unite around Jesus, get a purpose in their heart, burn with his fire. Nothing is impossible for them. In John 17, verse 20, I'll read you that verse. It talks about how unity is so attractive. It says here, I do not ask for these only. This is Jesus' prayer. But also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, and they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. You know, the miracle of the church, the miracle of us being one, the miracle that you can have Jew and Gentile, slave, free, everybody from every caste of life, opposites being together, the fact that that can come together and they can be one is a testimony to the reality of Jesus. You know, it's a miracle sometimes. You go different parts of the world, you meet someone else who knows the Lord and you start to talk with them and you realize we are from totally different backgrounds, we're from different places, and yet once you talk with them, you feel this sense of being one because of the Spirit of God that's in us all. The early church was irresistible. It was a gathering of God's people. They were filled with His Spirit, they were alive, and they were irresistible to a world that was looking for something beyond what they were even experiencing. Nothing shall be impossible for them. This turn their world upside down kind of people. I thought about what is the source of unity. You know, the X factor in all this is the Holy Spirit, isn't it? You know, without Him, you know, it says it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit. You know, it's an amazing thing when the Spirit is outpoured to a nation or to a people, suddenly all the walls start to come down and people relate. The fruit of His sovereign outpouring is unity. What binds us is not our creeds, it's not our doctrines, it's not our tribe, it's not our caste, it's not our politics, it's not our preferences. It's the fact that when we gather around Him, we sense His presence, we know that He has put us together. Just like to look at a psalm we all know, Psalm 1, 133. If we should be up there. Look at that, a psalm of ascents. Just to give you the context, it was a psalm, there was all these psalms, there's this whole group of psalms, of, I don't know how many there are, it's quite a few, but where the Jewish people, three times a year, they were required to go up to the feasts at Jerusalem, and they would obviously walk up towards Mount Zion where Jerusalem was, and they would walk up there and they would sing psalms. And it was a time where they would gather together, where God would require them three times a year to go. And they would worship. And this is one of the psalms. It says, "Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore." It's a wonderful picture, isn't it? Thought these words there. It says, "Behold, behold how good and pleasant it is." You know, it says, "Behold." It says, "Have a look at this." It's almost like they're going up there. They're walking up the mountain. They're walking towards a temple, probably doing this three times a year. Different tribes, they all gather. They're all walking up there. And it's like there's a song in their heart, and the first thing they're going to say is, "Behold, just have a look at this." And it's not a cry for them to be one. It's a statement that they already are one. It's a reality. And they're saying it, and they're saying, "Behold how good and pleasant it is." You know, it is just so good. It is just so good. I was so enjoyed last night. We had fellowship with the men, and you have a meal, and you worship, and you, someone's going to share a message. And just that sense of God's sweet presence is there, and we're one. Then it talks about this precious oil that's running down Aaron's beard. It's running on his head, it's running down on his beard, and it's coming down to the collar of his robes. And on his robes, he's got all the 12 tribes sort of on his chest plate or whatever it is. I'm not sure at all, but this oil's coming from somewhere up high, and it's flowing down, and it's running down to everyone, to the whole names. You know, when we flow in unity, there's something that flows down to every part of the body. You know, when we flow with him. The part I really like is it talks about this dew. I was thinking about this. It says, "It's like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion." Hermon, I guess I never thought much about this, and I was reading it, and Hermon was this huge mountain in the north, near Lebanon, 9,000 feet high, and Zion was in the south in Judea. And the picture again is this blessing, this sense of God's presence flowing from somewhere up high, coming all the way down to Zion, which is like a type of the church. You know, there's a blessing that comes. And Israel, when you think of it, was a very dry land. There was no rainfall for 6 months of the year, from May to October. And when it's really dry like that for 6 months of the year, you could imagine how dew would be so precious. Dew would be like, the dew. And they say that around Hermon, around this tall mountain peak, it received huge amounts of dew all through the year. And everything around it was watered and rich and fertilized and just flourishing. And Zion, which was way down south, got much less dew. But when the dew was abundant, everything grows. And it's just this image of refreshing and pleasantness and life that's coming as people dwell in one heart around the Lord. It's just so, so good. I thought about dew. It's different to rain, you know. There was a hailstorm this week, or last week. Just came suddenly. It's very, very clear when hail comes. It's very, very clear when we see rain. But sometimes we don't see dew. You know, dew is like it's hidden. Somehow it distills out of the atmosphere. It sort of comes out of the air. You wake up and all of a sudden there's all this dew around. It's all wet. You know, the the path is wet, the grass is wet, something's come down in the night that was hidden, and yet we all benefit from the dew. Just read you this little quote from Tim Keller. It says, "The unity of God's people brings opposites together. Symbolized by tall Hermon in the rural north and the little hill of Zion in the urban south. For Hermon's dew to fall on Zion would be a miracle. And so is the supernatural bond that brings a people far divergent in culture, race and class together in the Lord. The unity and love he gives us is like precious oil in ancient times, making people fragrant and attractive to us who otherwise would dismiss or reject. It just brings opposites together. It's just the most amazing things. The other part in this psalm is it says, for there the Lord commanded the blessing. It was there. It was in that place of unity, that place where they were all one, and they're going up to Zion. In that place, God commanded, he guaranteed, he blessed them. I thought about what is conducive to unity. You know, I thought, you know, God does his part, but if we look at Ephesians 4:2-3, talks about in there, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. A unity is established by God. It's established by His Spirit. It's actually there. We are already one. But somehow there's also this part where it's been established, but somehow God wants us to maintain what is set up. We have to work at it. And in Philippians 2, verse 2 to 4, talks about some very key things. He says, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing with selfish ambition or conceit. But in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not just to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. You know, for this to be maintained, it's just simple things. It's just humility and concern for one another. And I thought it's just simply those things. I thought about, because of its power, it's the one thing that the enemy would seek to attack. If there's one thing he would want to do is attack the fact that we're one. And that's all he, you know, he's a master of division. He's a master of misunderstanding, of unresolved conflict, of petty differences that would cause the body to divide. It's just his trick. I thought about Matthew 18. Just simple things that keep us one. You know, little foxes that can spoil the vine. Little offences, little things that can occur. And it says here, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. Just real simple little things like where in our hearts we have humility, and if there's ever little things that occur in the body of Christ, we just have this heart that wants to be one, that wants to repair any breach, that wants to be prepared to forgive. I just thought I'd share around that because we're going to take the Lord's table today. Unity is a blessing, you know. God, it's there that God commands the blessing. That's where the anointing comes. That's where there's favor. That's where his presence is. That's where it's so good. That's where the power of God can conduct through. Unity is powerful. Just like the Lord said about the Tower of Babel, nothing that they purpose will be impossible for them. Unity needs to be maintained. Paul says we need to be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We need to make every effort. We need to work at it. Just doesn't come. It comes, but it needs to be maintained, and we need to guard against it. I just wonder if the Kim and the team would come, and we're just going to maybe sing "Christ Is Enough" once more. Just like to read from the book of Corinthians, chapter 11. Haven't put it up there. It says, "For I have received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" You know, this little celebration we do once a month, or however often we do it, it actually testifies to the fact that we're one. We come around the cross, we come around the fact that he died, gave his life for us, and that his prayer is always that they would be one, because our oneness is a testimony only to the world that he is alive and that he is risen. And there's a blessing in all that. I just wonder if we could sing together today. Most welcome. Just come up and take these emblems. Maybe just go back to your seat, or you can stay out the front here. We're just going to wait for one another. We're all going to receive. We're all going to worship him. We're all going to give thanks. We're going to come around him. Around him shall the gathering of the people be. And he's here with us this morning. Let's sing it with Kim and the team. Please come up. Let's receive the communion this morning. This is a statement, not just of our faith, but of our unity.